Well, it's good to be together today and to be able to celebrate Mother's Day. Anna Jarvis, actually worked long and hard to get this day established in our country. And she was concerned about the fact that we as people in this country would honor our mothers. And she actually worked long and hard to make sure that the apostrophe was in the right place, so that it wasn't just a day to honor mothers around the world, but it was a day that we could set aside to honor our mothers. And as that happened in our country, and as she saw the direction that it went and the commercialization that happened over Mother's Day, she then became an opponent against the day that she had established, because she realized it was becoming, it went a direction that she didn't want it to go. And the whole card business kicked in, and it became a commercialized thing, and flowers and all those kind of things. And not that she was opposed to them, but she said this: "I'm afraid that cards have taken the place of us writing letters to our mother, letters of appreciation, letters of, and we've fallen back on cards and those kind of things, rather than us personally taking the time to pen out words of appreciation that we've had for our mothers." And so today is a day that is set aside for us to honor our mothers and to bless our mothers. We're here to bless our mothers, but we're also here today to bless the mothers around the world, because I believe the mothers around the world hold an important key in the lives of the children that are growing up today. And I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning in my message. I'm not going to preach out of a scripture passage. I'm actually going to start out with a poem. I've asked Delby to read that for us here this morning as Tim puts it up on the overhead. And I want you to take a look at this poem, because there's some pretty incredible truths that come out from this poem. So go ahead, Delby.
"The Hand That Rocks the Cradle" by William Ross Wallace. Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace in the palace, cottage, hovel. No matter where the place. Would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy's the tender fountain. Power may with beauty flow. Mothers first to guide the streamlets, from them souls on resting grow. Grow on for the good or evil, sunshine streamed or evil hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh keep, the young heart open always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women, fathers, sons, and daughters cry, and the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky, mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world.
Thanks, Delby. I love that poem. And many people might argue with some of what's said in that poem, but I believe there are incredible truths that come forth from this poem. I believe it celebrates the influence that mothers have on children. It also calls mothers to be a godly influence in the lives of their children. Let me say this. This morning I want to bless you as mothers. And many of our lives have been touched by our mothers. Many of us sitting here could say, you know, it was our mother's prayers. I can say that personally in my own way. I don't think I'd be where I'm at today if it wouldn't be for my mom staying up all night some nights. I've said this here before. But my mom would stay up all night some nights just praying for us, because there were seven of us boys in a family, and things were happening that weren't good sometimes. And she literally would just stay up and weep and cry for us all night long. And we've talked about it as boys, as sons. We attribute where we're at today to our mother. I don't like disclaimers. I don't like when pastors do disclaimers when they're preaching, but I'm going to do that this morning. I'm going to go against what I don't like. But first of all, I realize as I'm talking this morning, as we talk about mothers, I realize that, and as I've just said what I've said, I also realize that not all mother relationships are good. I've talked with enough people over the years, as I've worked with people, that I realize a lot of times there's pain associated today. As we gather together to celebrate mothers, there can be pain associated with that as well, as because of the relationships that have happened. The second disclaimer I want to make this morning is, in some of the statements I'm going to say later on, I realize that there are probably, I don't know for sure, but possibly there are mothers sitting in the room that have been an extremely godly influence in the lives of your children, and you've poured and invested an incredible amount of time in praying, in teaching, in pouring into the lives of your child to sit here brokenhearted this morning. I'm very much aware of that. And so my prayer is, as I go into this message, that the Holy Spirit would speak to your hearts either comfort or grace or encouragement or maybe a nudge, a challenge to be the mom that pours into your lives. But I'm also very much aware that there's pain associated with this day as well. Keep those things in mind. Three truths that I see coming out in this poem that I'd like to talk about a little bit this morning. First of all, just the phrase that was repeated over and over again, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And I know many people would argue with that and say, well, maybe it's the dads that play the most important role. I'm not here to argue that point this morning. But I believe the truth is there, that the hand that rocks the cradle, the hands that's there in the formative years are the hand, is the hand that rules the world in the future. The Washington Times, May 10, 1996, said this: "The habits of the home in one generation become the morals of society in the next." I want you to think about that. I'm going to read it again. "The habits of the home in one generation become the morals of society in the next." And then it goes on to say, thanks, "as the old adage says, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." The habits that are displayed in our home now, the things that we do, the way that we live out Christianity in our homes now, will become the morals of our children. They will pick up on the way we're living our lives, the way we look at life, the way we handle life, all those kind of things. Our children will pick up on that. And the hand that rocks the cradle will rule the world, because we're passing on something to our children. Daniel Pollard, a number of weeks ago when he was here for revivals, we were talking about things one day, and he said this to me. He said, "You know, one thing that I see as I work with people is sometimes parents wake up, or parents say, what in the world's happening to my child? And he said, many times as I work with people, I realize what's happening to the child is what's been learned in the home. And it's been passed down. And parents say, why in the world is my son reacting this way? Or why are they doing that? And that's a staggering thought to me, not only as mothers, but as fathers as well. I had to stop and think about that for a long time. The things that my children are playing out in their lives, is that a reflection of me and what I've passed on to them, my values in life, what I think is important, how I handle life, how I view life, how I view Christianity, all those things is what I see playing out in my child's life, children's lives. Is that what I've passed on to them? It's something we need to take stock of. Someone has said this: the formative period for building character for eternity is in the nursery. The mother is queen of the realm and sways a scepter more potent than the king, than that of king or priest. Another quote by Oliver Holmes: the real religion of the world comes from women much more than men, from mothers most of all, who carry the key of our souls in their bosom. And I believe those quotes are true. And for you as mothers, don't underestimate the influence that you have in the lives of your child from the time they're born till the time they leave the home. And for us as men, it doesn't mean that we lay over and play dead. You know, you can sort of get the idea of that. Well, we as men, we just go about our thing and it's up to the women to raise the children. I don't believe that's true. But I want to affirm you as mothers that you have an incredible influence in the lives of your children. The question is, what are we passing on to our children? What are we teaching our children from the time they're in their cradle till they leave our home? The second thing in the poem that I want to pull out is that your role as a mother is a divine mission. Your role as a mother is a divine mission from the Lord. The poem says, "Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod." God has given you as mothers an incredible mission in this world. And you know, we don't really think of raising children as a divine mission, especially in today's society. We don't think of it about the fact that it's a divine mission from God. God has entrusted you with bearing and raising children. It's a divine mission from God. Golda Meir, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that name quite right, said this, and I like this quote: "Women's liberation is just a lot of foolishness. It is men who are discriminated against. They can't bear children, and no one's likely to do anything about that." I like that. But the truth is, we're the ones that are discriminated against. You have been given a divine mission by God to bear and raise children. Two stories in the Bible that I want to refer to this morning. One is Hannah. I love the story of Hannah. And we know the story. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm not going to read many verses from that, just more tell the story. But Hannah was not able to have children and wanted to really bad. And yet she was barren, and there was another wife in the family that became her rival. And every year they would go up to Jerusalem to worship God, and when they would go up there, her husband loved Hannah much more than the other wife. So as they would give her a portion of food at the sacrifice, he would always give Hannah a double portion. And but the other lady would always needle her. And it became a source of irritation. She would always say, "Yeah, you might be getting the double portion, but let me tell you what, I'm the one that can bear children." These are my words, okay? These aren't from the scripture. But let me tell you this, I'm the one that can bear children and you can't. And it was a source of irritation. And Hannah would weep and cry because she wanted children so bad. And so we know the story, how she was praying one year at the temple. And she was in such anguish over this that her lips were moving, but no words were coming out. And Eli said, Eli thought she was drunk and said, I wish you would quit drinking. And she said, "No, I'm not drinking, but I'm in anguish of soul. I'm in anguish of soul because my heart is so heavy on this." And then Eli asked what her request was. And after he found out, he said, "May the Lord grant it to you." And we know the story then how Samuel was born to Hannah. And it says that Hannah nursed him, and when he was weaned, she took him up to the temple and dedicated him to God. And that was Samuel's life. From then on, he was in the service of God at the temple and was a part of the worship there. The second story is Moses' mother, Jochebed, in Exodus chapter 2. And that story as well, we know that story. But just to recap it for you, Jochebed had a baby, and she saw that it was a nice baby, and she made a basket. She hid it for 3 months, and the command was that they were to destroy all the boys. But she hid him for 3 months, and when she couldn't hide him anymore, she stuck him in a basket, put him out in the bulrushes, and the prince's, Pharaoh's daughter came down and found him. And Miriam went up to him and said, "Hey, can I get someone to take care of this baby for you?" And she said, "Sure." So Miriam went and called her mother. And her mother actually nursed the baby. It said she nursed it, and when she was finished nursing, when it was weaned, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she raised him as her own daughter. And so Moses then grew up in the court of Pharaoh. Two things that stand out to me in these stories. Both women had a grasp of the fact that their child was not theirs but God's. They were entrusted with a divine mission. God had entrusted them with a divine mission to raise this child. It wasn't their child. It was actually God's. Both of them realized that God had blessed them incredibly with the fact that they could even raise these children. Hannah all of a sudden had a child. And Jochebed had a child that shouldn't have been alive. And God entrusted him. Both of these women knew, had a firm grasp on the fact that this child was not theirs, it was God's child. And God had entrusted them with a divine mission to raise these children. The second point in these stories, their time was incredibly short. I did some research on what they thought the age was of both of these people, and nursing in that time usually lasted about 3 years. So they would be weaned about 3 years old. So sometime between 3 and 5 years old, both of these mothers had to give up their sons, their children. Would be incredible hard thing to do. To give up your sons at 3 to 5 years of age and say, "Here," when we have no control of what's going to happen to their outcome after that. So they realized that their time was very short. They didn't have many years to pour into these children's lives, these boys' lives, the things of God, the values that they wanted to pass on to them, to teach them what God, and especially in the case where Moses, where he was growing up in Pharaoh's court. He was growing up in a pagan society. He was going into a pagan family to live. And yet God had entrusted these ladies with this mission, a divine mission. That's why we use Hannah as an example of dedicating back to God. Hannah realized that this child was not hers, it was the Lord's. And she knew that her time was short, and she dedicated him back to God for the service of it. I wonder what it would be like for us as parents, and especially as mothers, if we got a hold of the fact that our children, God has entrusted, it's a divine mission that God has entrusted us with. It is. And we, our time is short. We look at it, we have 18 to 20 years, but we might not. Depending on the situations. But are we pouring into our lives, realizing that the time that we have to pour into their lives is a short time? How would that change how we raise our children, how we pour into their lives? Do you as mothers believe that your job is a divine mission from God? In our society today, we are losing that. Children are becoming a bother, a hindrance to the things that we want to do in our lives. And we no longer view it as a divine mission from God. The third thing that I want to talk about from this poem is that you, as a mother, are one of the most powerful forces in the lives of your children. The poem says, "All the trophies of the ages are for mother love impearled." And I like that phrase. All the trophies, all the men, all the things that have happened in people's lives, a lot of them can be traced back to the mother and the influence of the mother. Abe Lincoln said this, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." He also said this, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." The influence that you have as a mother is incredible in the lives of your children. The testimony of many people in the past comes back to their mother and the input that their mother has had in their lives. I believe that influence has changed in our society as well. We don't hear that as much from people today. We still do, but we don't hear it as much. And I think it's because our society has encouraged our mothers to get caught up into other things, whether it's ministry or work or missions or keeping up with the Joneses or pleasure or whatever it is. But there's a pull, incredible pull, to not spend as much time with her children and to be the mom that is there pouring into the lives of their children. But the potential is still there for that to happen. And you as mothers are one of the most powerful forces in the world to direct your child's life. And I believe that with all my heart, and I want to honor you for that. Someone has said, this is wrapping up, someone has said it's not easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers would do it. That's pretty true. You have the hard work. Actually, you do have the hard work of bearing a child and nursing it and raising it. You have the hard work. And I want to honor you as moms for that this morning. David Berg said this, "Any woman can have a baby, but it takes a real mother to learn how to train up a child in the way he should go." And that's quoting from Proverbs 22:6. Any woman can have a baby, but it takes a real mother to learn how to train up a child in the way he should go. This is another quote. "Motherhood takes the strength of Samson, the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of Job, the faith of Abraham, the insight of Daniel, and the courage of David. And it also takes the love of God." And this morning, I want to honor you as mothers. Many of you have poured and invested and taught godly and poured godly principles into the lives of your children. And sometimes we don't know the outcome of that. But I want to honor you as mothers for doing that this morning and for investing and for giving into the lives of your children. I believe that while your job is not easy, it's a divine calling from God that he has placed on your life for this season of your life, in raising children, in growing men and women that will be used in his kingdom. Sometimes it feels like we have our ministry and our mission that we're called to do in our lives, and then these children come along that we raise. And I think we have that backwards sometimes. I think actually we have our mission, but one of our greatest missions is to raise young men and women like Hannah and Jochebed did that will become leaders in the church and in the world in the next generation. And that's so often it's easy for us to lose that focus and lose that mission, but I believe that's the divine mission that God has called us as parents to, and specifically you as mothers and fathers both, but we're talking to mothers this morning. It's a divine mission of God to do that. It's a special calling. And you have incredible influence in the lives of your children. I want you to leave with this thought. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And I want to bless you with that influence and with the power that you have as moms to influence the life of your children. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for mothers. Many of us sitting here this morning, some of us sitting here this morning, can look at our lives and say, it's because of my mom that I am where I'm at, because she cared and she loved and she prayed until you got through to our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for moms that care and that love and that spend hours weeping and crying with hearts that are burdened for children. Lord, I want to bless them this morning. I bless them for their love, for their compassion, for their heart. And Lord, I pray in the midst of disappointment at times, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of loss, in the midst of grief, that you would bless them and encourage and strengthen. And Lord, that you would pour life into their lives and energy and strength in times when they're extremely exhausted and wore out and tired. God, that you would bless them this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.